Let's turn the page here. I want to get into a new weekly confession here. If we can go up to that, Stephen. Let's read this together. In a world of fear, I have God's love. In a world of sin, I have God's forgiveness. In a world of iniquity, I have God's righteousness. In a world of deception, I have God's truth. In a world of sorrow, I have God's joy. In a world of foolishness, I have God's wisdom. In a world of bondage, I have God's freedom. In a world of darkness, I have God's light. In a world of sickness, I have God's healing power. In a world of alienation, I have God's reconciliation. In a world of chaos, I have God's peace. In a world of weakness, I have God's strength. In a world of sin and death, I have the spirit of life in Christ. These things are in me and abound. Therefore, I will fear no evil, for God is with me now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe another bookmark is coming. Excuse me, I'm going to blow my nose. Oh. Okay. You know, just in follow-up to last week, I was out in the back. Lori and I were out in the back. We're taking care of a few things in the backyard and whatever. And just as clear as a bell, I heard something like, you know how hard Charlie studied and how hard he worked. I don't know anybody in my life that has worked and studied harder than him. And he didn't do it just to get grades or pass tests. He did it because he was hungry to learn. Boy, I'll tell you something. You can't say too much about being hungry. But I heard, like, with this massive outpouring that's coming today, I don't know if you got your DVRs on, but you're going to have, they'll probably replay it, but today. But here's the thing. I heard, it's almost like I was hearing Charlie's thoughts and just saying, you know, if I thought it was going to make this much of a hubbub, I would have worked harder. And it's like, how can you even do that? The guy worked so hard. He studied so hard. He was self-taught, didn't go to college, so he wasn't trying to pass tests and get a grade so he can go out and get a job and get into the format of this world. He said, I'm going to believe God. And I'm going to get in and see what he can show me. Look at what happened. You know, our school systems are a model that have been forming this nation to what it is now. And it's been a terrible, terrible thing. Our educational system is really the hand of Satan. He authored it. And he used... I'm not even going to go into it, but he used a false premise and a false goal, let's say, that we have attained this goal, then we've reached success. No, you've reached the pit. I'm thankful for KPA. I'm thankful for the chance for them to learn, right? I'm thankful for the co-op. And the things that are being done there, the relationship that is with God that's being birthed and fed and nourished. So thankful for it. Because if you listen to this world, you'll just end up just as confused as them. Praise God. Well, I'd say pretty much that this whole thing backfired on them. You know, I take a guy as dedicated to God as without, they're going to answer some repercussions. And you know what? The mantle of their authority has been removed. I'll just say that prophetically now. They think they've still got it. It's gone. Do you remember when Samuel came up to King Saul and he said, God's taken your crown and he's given it to another. And he has taken that crown that is of the left wing that is just loaded with lies, deceit, and power hungry, whatever, that has corrupted our government, corrupted our schools, corrupted our courts, corrupted the police, corrupted everything. And he's taken that off of them. It's gone. They have no more power. They're diffused. And I've got peace. I've got peace in you, Lord Jesus. I've got faith from you, Father above. I've got love, love, love. Mm. That song's about 45 years old. It's a good one, too. All right, here we are. 150 North South Washington Street, right? Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 14. And I want to preface this before we get into the scripture. I just mentioned, you know, Charlie wasn't studying to get grades. He wasn't studying just to pass tests. He was hungry to learn. You know, this hunger is everything. You know, I could, and you can't teach that. You can't teach people to be hungry. They've got to be hungry for truth. And that's where this, I mean, when things get so bad, you start getting hungry, right? And that's where this nation is. I mean, I can preach some really wonderful things. I can teach some wonderful things out of the Word of God. But unless people are hungry, it's just going to go over your head like a 747. It'll make a lot of noise, and you'll be very impressed, and it'll just go right over the horizon and disappear. But if you're hungry, you're going to catch what it's all about, and it's going to sit in you, and it's going to carry you places that you never dreamed God prepared for you. Amen. Amen. So are you hungry?
Yes.
I said, are you hungry?
Yes.
Let's get hungry. You know, I saw that advertisement on TV about Aldi and these guys sitting at a table just... You see that one? And the two ladies are saying, how can you afford to feed all these? And this thing drops and it's meat, lowest prices at Aldi. And it's just a really good ad, but... that's hunger. Those guys are hungry. They came to the table hungry. So we're talking this morning about prepared with the peace of God. And in John chapter 14, let's go to verse 25. And I want us to just really take these words and really look into them deeply today. Jesus, this is the Last Supper, and he is conveying to them what he really desires for them to understand about many things, the Holy Spirit, his peace, what they can expect so they won't miss it. And he said, these things have I spoken to you, yet being with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I said. See, the Holy Spirit is in this meeting because he's paying attention to what Jesus is saying so he can remind us about it too. Verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, Jesus considered peace something that we needed, something that was necessary for us. So it has a value to it. He considered it value. It's something valuable, something that carried him through his life and ministry, and something that he was willing to just give us. Were the disciples sitting there at the Last Supper, were they perfect? No, they were fighting on the way in, arguing about who's going to be the best in the kingdom, you know? I mean, it's just, they were always ragging on each other. These guys were just, you know, they were a product of legalistic religion. And after 3 years with Jesus, they still didn't get rid of it. This gives me a lot of hope, because I know that perfection is not my bag, let's say, you know, because I'm not perfect. You may have known that. Phil is, but you don't have to be. God is not talking about you being perfect. If he says, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect, he's saying, look, be mature. Mature is ready to understand. Mature is knowing that you don't have it all together and that you're hungry for God. Maturity is strong because it's humility. Yeah, and Stephen shared that at men's yesterday. He said, you know, I heard something a few years back at a meeting where this guy said, you want to know what spiritual maturity is? Is that when something bad happens, I guess, you automatically have a biblical response. And I think Dave shared this too. I mean, if you get hit with life, what's going to come out your mouth, that's what you're full of. That's what is in maturity in you. And that's what God wants to multiply in you is his word, so that when you do get hit, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is his word. His word is your provision. And it's another teaching, but I want to get into that too sometime soon. But Jesus taught peace to his disciples. He said he taught them how to use it, when to release it, when to withhold it. He told them, this is a valuable thing that we need to understand. We really need to learn and get a handle on the peace of God, because it is a spiritual force. And it's given to us to bring blessing into our life and to establish us in authority. Do you know, in Isaiah 46, I don't know if I went there, but Isaiah verses 9 and 10, he said, remember the former things. In other words, God is saying, remember how I created everything. Remember what was before. Remember the prophets I raised up. But remember the former things, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. Do you know when you walk in the peace of God, that is a form of declaring the end from the beginning? Because you're not bowing down to the situation. The Apostle Paul was amazing. I mean, if there's anybody who got beat up, torn down, persecuted, thrown in prison, dragged off by Roman soldiers, beat up by the Pharisees, beat up by the Sadducees, everywhere he went, he faced this, and he knew, and he finally got it. He got it. This is how you do it. You stand in peace in whatever situation you're in. Peace. Peace is a weapon, and he learned how to use it. He used it really effectively. Declaring the end from the beginning. This is what we have, that same spirit. You want to declare a good end to your trial? A good end to what you don't have? A good end or a desired result? Let's put it that way. Declare it. You have that ability. You have the same spirit that Isaiah had. You have the same spirit that Jesus had. You have his peace. You can stand in his peace in the midst of a trial, in the midst. I'll tell you something, this morning was a trial for me. I had a sudden thing in my body that just, I felt like I just wanted to go back. I had no strength, no nothing. But what I did have was a wife who had the spirit of faith in here, started praying for me and kicking that thing off of me. And I'll tell you something, when I was weak, she was strong. When one falls in a ditch, she has another to pick him up. A threefold cord is not easily broken. And I'll tell you something, by the time I walked in here, I was, hey! Perfect peace. Perfect peace. She was declaring the end from the beginning. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. Thank you, darling. Oh. Do you know, peace is God's name. Jehovah. Shalom. You know when that was first used? When Gideon was being called into battle, the angel is there, and he says, "Hello, man of valor." And he says, "What?" He says, "You're going to deliver Israel from the Midianites." He says, "I'm from the smallest clan in the smallest tribe, a Manasseh here, and you're telling me what?" He says, "Yeah, you're going to do it." And he said, "Don't." He says, "They'll kill me." He said, "No, you're not going to die." It's the angel of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, you know who the angel of the Lord is, right? It's Jesus. He's the commander of armies. In fact, he still holds the record of the most kills in one night is 185,000 Midianites that were killed in one night, or parasites, that he killed in one night. He passed over. He is the Lord of hosts. That means Lord of armies. He leads warrior angels against people who come against his people. Powerful thing. But Gideon says, okay, well then, he goes and gets a goat, makes a sacrifice, puts the meat and the broth and everything on this rock. The angel touches it with his staff, and a fire starts, and it's boiled. And Gideon is holding God to this promise that I will be in perfect peace. And he named that place where that altar was built, where he built that altar, Jehovah Shalom. The God is peace. And then Gideon got together a whole bunch of men, and God said, "No, that's too many. No, that's too many. No, that's too many." He got them down to 300 men and went out and killed 22,000, I think it was 22,000 Midianites, just slaughtered them with 300 men. Angels set an ambush against them, everything. You have a better covenant based on better promises than Gideon had. You have bullets in your holster. You have ammunition in your heart. You have a God who stands up on the inside of you when you reach these things, and nothing is impossible to you because you believe in him. Amen. There is so much perfect peace in that, that you can go in no matter what happens, no matter what I see, what I feel. I'm not moved by those things. I'm moved by what he said. God is peace, and he is my peace. And he has introduced me. That's his name. Hallelujah. You wonder if it's God's will to heal you? That's his name. Amen. Jehovah, what is it? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. You wonder if it's his will to provide for you in a certain sense? That's his name. Yeah. Jehovah Jireh. Mm-hmm. Time to wake up. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about you. I just want to wake up some more. You want to pray for me some more, honey? I'll tell you. It worked. It was so good. Praise God. There was one morning I walked into here. This is about three or four years ago, and your sister was singing. Elise was singing as I walked in, and I would really felt bad this morning. I mean, I was, you know. I mean, I was sick. I was shaking. I was sick. And I heard Elise singing. You're going to develop this gift too, because you both have it. And by the time I walked into my office, I was fine. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just letting the Lord just minister as Elise is singing. Ah, and it came up. Right. Look, God is a present help in time of need. He has people in place. He has everything in place. I want you to know something. When God looks at prayer, here's how he sees it. He has everything in place to meet every need, to meet every provision that you need, to meet your whatever it is you're going through, to bring people together, the right, make the right connections. He has it all together. He knows exactly what to do. He has angels on five continents ready to do what he says. And here it is. And when all he needs is for you to pray and believe him And it releases everything that he has already prepared. It's already done. Ask, and you shall receive. He said, for everybody who asks, receive. You say, well, that's not my experience. Well, let me ask you, and this is time to come to Jesus' meeting honest. Have you really prayed? Have you really said, God, I'm going to take you at your word? Your covenant is blood bought. It cannot be altered. It cannot fail. It cannot go. Nothing in my life can return to the way it was, because you know what? You've been born again. And he said, I make all things new. All things. All things are made new. We went through this yesterday in men's fellowship. He that sat on the throne said, look, I make all things new. You're going to believe him, or are you going to say, well, prove it? Because that's what doubt is. You ask God to prove something that he's already said, and he doesn't have to prove anything. It's said, it's done. That's what prayer, that's where you need to approach God in the very beginning in prayer. And you know what? There's so much peace in that. Let me get to some scriptures here. Because the word of God is better than what I'm trying to do. The word that Jesus, well, let's go back here to John 14. He said this, verse 25, these things that I have spoken to you, being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Is there anything the Holy Spirit will not sit down and teach you? Nothing. He'll teach you everything. And bring all things to your remembrance. He'll remind you everything Jesus said. Everything. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. When your heart is troubled, it's not coming from God. He said, you don't let your heart be troubled. How are you going to do that? Well, let's go back in the verse. Peace I leave with you. He gave you his peace so that you could rule over your heart and establish peace in your heart so that your heart won't be troubled. It's right there. This is one of the valuable uses and forces of peace, is the fact that you can shut your heart up, turn your emotions off, and start meditating on the truth. The truth will endure. See, Kenneth Hagin used to say this, if you're just walking on emotions, you're walking on air. You have no foundation, and you're going to fall. It is. You can't walk on air. Well, Jesus could. We've all got water. But here's the thing. You need a foundation, and that foundation is the Word of God. When he said, dig down deep, build your house on a rock, that rock is the Word of God. That rock is Jesus, the Word of God, who's a living Word, and he wants to come to your aid. He wants to support you all the time in every situation. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, so you can let not your heart be troubled. You'll be able to control it. He gave us his peace. It's the Greek word eirene. It's the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew word shalom. It's the same thing. It is so infused with the name of Jesus, with the name of the Father, with the name. It's so infused that when you are in perfect peace, because your mind is stayed on him and not your problem, when you're in perfect peace, you are established in his name. God gave you his own name. Jesus gave you his name to use for that purpose, to release the power that's in that name. And one of the powers in that name is peace. Turn to Mark chapter 4. I'll go into this. And here's what shalom means while you're turning there. Shalom means completeness, wholeness. Shalom means that there's nothing missing in your life, nothing broken in your life. Now, is there anything missing or broken in your life? Probably. But you can take that peace and start attacking those things that are missing or broken in your life. It's a tool. It's a force. You can release it out of your spirit. And how do you do that? Same way Jesus did when he said, peace, be still. That worked, didn't it? Well, it'll work for you too. But Colossians 2:9 says this, for in him, in Jesus, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, and you are complete in him. That's what shalom is. It's completeness. It's wholeness. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality. This is good stuff. Colossians 3:15 says this, let the peace of God rule your heart. How does that happen? Well, Jesus gave you the peace. Rule your heart with the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule your heart. That word rule means like being an umpire. Let the peace of God decide where you're going to go, what you're going to listen to, what you're going to believe. Let the peace of God rule that heart, rule that decision. Okay, Mark chapter 4, are you there? All right. Verse 35. And the same day, when even was come, that's evening, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. That means go over to the other side of Galilee. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. They wanted to tag along. I mean, you found Jesus. You might as well. They're all wanting to get in on it. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and say to him, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And they said to him, and he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you had no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him? There's a lot here. The same day, this was the day he spent the day teaching them in parables. This whole day he spent teaching them in parables. You can go back, Mark chapter 4, he's teaching the parable of the sower. Then he explained it to his disciples. And he said to them this, before he explained it to them, he said, you know what? Unto you is given the mystery, to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are without, it is not given. That seeing they may see, hearing they may see and not understand, and not perceive, lest at any time they would believe and their heart would be converted and they'd be saved. Anytime. Anytime they wanted to, they could be saved. Anytime. But he said it's not given to them because they're too full of themselves. They're too full of their problems. They're too full of their own way of looking at things, their own way of approaching the things, and they won't let me in. The same day when even was come, the same day, that day he was teaching them, this is how it works. This is the seed. The word is the seed. The seed will grow up and come greater. He's teaching. And then you've got a demonstration right here that he stood up in the boat and said, he rebuked the wind. And he said, peace be still. And all of a sudden there was a great calm. Let's lift up the hood on this a little bit. Look inside. Remember, are you hungry? Amen. Or did you just say, well, okay, show me something else? No, you got to be hungry for this. Otherwise, that 747 is gonna is gone. You know? Oh, okay. Never mind. See, this is the process of increase. You get hungry, you feed, and you don't stay there. 3 days from now, yeah, that was a big meal. That was a great meal I had 3 days a month ago. a year ago. That's a great testimony I had yesterday or the day before. That was a great prayer that was answered. And it gets pushed over. No, you get hungry, and then you get come and you get filled up. Then you get hungry again, and then you get filled up. Then you get hungry again, and then you get filled up. This is the process of increase, and it's right here. God gave you an appetite for a reason. And it's not just a physical appetite. This is a mental appetite for knowledge, the knowledge of God. Understanding of the soul, understanding of the things that he wants to show you, what's going on in your heart that's preventing you from receiving this. This is what he wants to show you. This is where he wants to get into. He wants to get in under that thing and show you why you're missing out on those things so that you can walk the way he wants you to walk and receive open to him. So his word makes sense to you. Because he said, look, there were two groups of people. There were those who saw and didn't understand, and those who did. He said, unto you it's given the mystery to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. You got two different people. Why is that? Well, because some are just in their own little world, and they don't want to be interrupted. You know what that is? That's fear that's holding them into their own little world, and they're afraid to get out of it. Jesus said, get out of the boat, Peter. Peter says, that's you. Bid me come. He says, yeah, okay, come. You got to get out of the boat. Otherwise, you're going to miss this. Get hungry. Verse 36 says, when he sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. I don't have time to go there because it's a little after my time. And there arose a great storm of wind. This was a great storm. This word great, by the way, is mega. And it's they've gone into this. It's hurricane force winds. This was an attack of the devil. He wanted to sink that boat, kill Jesus and his disciples. But he didn't count on the fact that Jesus could walk on water anyways. But he was in the back of the ship. Do you know why he was in the back of the ship sleeping? Because he was in perfect peace. He had already said, let us go to the other side. He had seed in the ground, right? He had kingdom seed in his future, in his situation. You can speak to your future the same way and say, I'm going through this. I'm going over this. I'm doing this, and I'm going in. I don't care. I'll do it afraid. I'll do it fearfully, but I'm going to do it. That's courage. And he released. He said, let's go to the other side. He didn't say, let's go in the middle and sink. He said, let's go to the other side. Amen. And that word was still alive. That word was still working. Your words go into your future and they create power. They create blessing. They create many things that you need at the time when you get there. Okay. Editorial comments. But, hey, where was I with that? Your words go into your future. They are seed. They will reproduce after their own kind. And if you speak blessing and power, whatever, or the desired result, it will happen. That's why Jesus was sound asleep. He didn't care what was going on. He was tired. He had preached and taught all day long, and now he's getting some rest. And who cares if a storm's coming over? That boat cannot sink because he already said, we're going to the other side. And after teaching them all day, he looks at them and says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you had no faith? You were listening to me, the word of God, all day long. We need to examine that and just listen to your high priest. Listen to your intercessor right now who cares so much about you that he died for you. And just listen to him say, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? What he's trying to get you to the point where you decide, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm going to get into your word until your word starts coming out of my mouth in every situation I'm into. That was a good word yesterday, Dave. Praise God. And when I'm squeezed, it's gonna, what's going to come out is the Word of God. When I see terrible things happen, I'm going to speak the Word of God. When things are on the horizon, threats that are coming my way or whatever, I'm going to speak to it. And I'm going to obtain the desired result because I have a perfect example that cannot fail, and His name is Jesus. And He did this. Philippians 1:28. Paul said this. In nothing be terrified. He had plenty of chances to be terrified, believe me. Right? Have you read the book of Acts?
Yes.
Yeah, he had plenty of opportunities to get terrified just about, who knows, every week, every day, every month, every town he went into. The old expression was, Paul would go check out the prison to see where he's going to stay. In nothing be terrified. Except when your kids are in trouble.
Come on.
Nothing be terrified, even when the doctor says this or that. In nothing be terrified when you get a call and the bank says, hey, you bounced a check. In nothing be terrified by your adversaries. Who's the real adversary? He's trying to work all these things into you to get you in fear. That's the only way he can get into your life is fear. Make you afraid, to make you to do something that because you're deceived. Terrified by, which is to, listen to this. This is what he learned. If we can learn this, we've got a long way. In nothing be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of their perdition, but to you of salvation and not of God. The peace that is in you, that Jesus gave you, when you refuse to be terrified and stand there in peace, and you stand there in the joy of God, it is to them an evident token of perdition on their part, but of yours, salvation, and that of God. That peace carries the name of Jesus. It carries the name of God. It carries His power and His presence. The peace of God. It cannot be, there's no substitute for it. You can't counterfeit it. It is real. It is tangible. And it is greater than any power this world has. That's what we're after, is peace. I don't know about you. Isaiah, well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Let's go there. Say this, let's read this together. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. You have the same spirit of faith that God had when He created the universe. You have the same spirit of faith that Jesus had when He spoke to the Pharisees and read their mail to them. You have the same spirit of faith that Jesus when He released that peace from Him, when He said, peace be still. He was releasing the peace that lived in Him. And that peace was a force that wrapped up that storm and put it away. Immediate calm. There was no reason for there to be even a wave, even a wrinkle. The force was abated. You have that same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. This is the door to supernatural peace, to supernatural results in your life. It swings on two hinges, believing and speaking. The devil doesn't care if you believe the Word of God. He doesn't care if you sing about it. He doesn't care if you cry about it. He doesn't care if you dream about it. He doesn't care if you can quote the Word and everything. But when you start speaking that Word, it's a threat to him. He opposes it with everything he can, because it's the one thing that this is the number one enemy of the devil is the Word of God in your heart and in your mouth, because once it happens, he can't do a thing about it. Once it's in your heart and out of your mouth, he can't do it. He can't stamp it out. He can't stop it. Nothing. It is a wave of peace and joy and power that he has no defense for. You're going to go out of here and you're going to have a good life. You're going to go out of here and you're going to have a great opportunity come up. God is connecting things for you. Get in line with his confession over you so that he can add his substance to your life. Amen. That's what I was getting to say. Praise God. Woo, glory. Praise you, Jesus. Anyhow, that's how you prepare with the peace of God. Is this yours? Okay. It's here for you. My wife has a certain kind of pen. It's a micro ball, you know. Yeah, Uniball micro. And ever since I've known her, really. Is that right? 41 years? We've been married 41 years. We knew each other longer than that. She's still putting up with me. There you are, darling. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power and the life and the glory that's in your word. We thank you, Father, for the things that you're bringing together in this nation right now. And we join our faith right now with many others who are praying for these wonderful celebrations, celebrating a wonderful life that was too much of a vapor for us. But to you, it was a sweet, fragrant offering that lives on, that you will continue to breathe into and live through those who have picked up the torch. Strengthen them. Those who have stood in the truth that was preached by Charlie, give them a personal stake in that, and renew the vision of their hearts so that they can carry that. Strengthen them, fortify them, give them what they need in order to do that job. We pray for them. We ask, Father, for your continued multiplication of grace and peace in their life. In all of us, when we come into a situation where we're tempted to hit back with truth instead of using wisdom to win their soul, help us, Father. Help us in these processes of life, but help us bring glory to your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.